Without wishing to be hyperbolic, our next speaker, Brendan O'Leary, is one of the people who has changed international understanding of the Northern Ireland conflict by perhaps placing it in a comparative perspective. His books with McGarry, Politics of Antagonism, his books on explaining Northern Ireland are classics. They're on all undergraduate reading lists. He's also Lauder Professor of Political Science at the University of Pennsylvania. His publications unfortunately run into many pages. I cannot read them at present, but what I'd like to emphasise here today is his extraordinary role in shaping how we've understood the Northern Ireland conflict over the last 40 years. I should perhaps also mention that he has played a political role at particular crucial times, which he may choose autobiographically to reveal to you or not, as the case may be in the next few moments. And he has recently been designing a constitution for Kurdistan. Okay. On that note, I'll introduce you to Professor Brendan O'Leary.
Thank you very much, Margaret, for that exceptionally generous and warm introduction. The first thing I'd like to do is to disagree with my good friend, John Copley. If there is a yes vote in Scotland, only one union is dissolved, not two. The United Kingdom consists of two unions, the Union of Great Britain and the Union of Great Britain with Ireland. So what gets dissolved after a yes vote is Great Britain. I think we probably agree empirically, but legally it's also very clear that the successor state to the breakup of that entity, Great Britain, is England, Wales and Northern Ireland, the RUMP Union. If you can think of a good acronym for that RUMP Union, let me know. So I would like to, first of all, highlight the uniqueness in the proper sense of the word. Americans use unique for everything. Unique in the sense of singular quality to the referendum in Scotland. If the perspective in Blossom comes true, you heard a very eloquent presentation in favour of yes. If it comes true, it will be the first time in human history that there has been a successful referendum on secession in a long-established democracy. Now, I'm not an idiot who thinks that democracy was established in England in the Magna Carta, or when the Dutch coup took place in 1688, or in the Great Reform Act, allegedly, of 1832. The United Kingdom became a democracy in 1928. Nevertheless, that's when women got the vote, for those of you who had forgotten, on the same terms as men. The United Kingdom is, nevertheless, a long-established democracy by the standards of democracies. And it is an interesting feature of democracies how rare successful secessions have been from them. And when they have taken place, they have not taken place as a result of an agreed referendum process. So Scotland will beat Quebec to the title of being the first democratic entity within a democratic entity to secede. The United Kingdom was not a democracy when Ireland sought to secede. So point number one, this is genuinely a unique occurrence from the point of view of history and political science. If I had been asked to be an advisor to the Better Together campaign, and I wasn't, I've been accused of very many things in my life. I've never been accused of being a unionist. But if I had been an advisor to the Better Together strategy, I would have strongly argued that they should have pursued a love strategy and not a fear strategy. I think the problem in putting so much into the fear element in the campaign, on the currency, on the notion that the Scots would not be able to survive economically on their own, is that that's a collective insult. And that's a collective insult that's got plenty of time to germinate. If you then switch and suddenly say, I'd like you to stay in the marriage despite the fact that you're a weakling, despite the fact that you're a dependent, despite the fact that you're a financial alcoholic, I'd still love you and I want you to stay, that's not going to work in the latter part of the campaign. I think Salmond and others have organized their campaign very well to appeal to the young, to appeal to women, and to appeal for a broad cross-class, cross-ethnic, cross-sectarian momentum for independence. It will be, again, the first time in human history in which a referendum, in effect, takes place on the supposition that we want to found a new state because we prefer a certain set of policy preferences. We want to be a social democracy because we fear that the English are irrevocably wedded to some version of Toryism. That will be another novelty. So let me just talk briefly about the yes scenario, because yes, it's more improbable at the moment, but it's by far the most interesting intellectually. So we'll have, in the scenario that Scotland votes yes, there's an agreement that within a year, Scotland will have tied up its secession from the United Kingdom. But in that year, there has to be a set of elections at Westminster. In those elections, the Scots will be fully entitled to compete and to take their places. And they would be very wise to do so, to have some influence over the process of negotiation between the rump of the Union and Scotland. So what's the likely scenario that would unfold? In my view, it's highly improbable that the Conservatives will win those elections, having presided, after all, over the breakup of Great Britain. And the Liberal Party and the Labour Party will be looking at a disastrous scenario from their point of view, from a narrow party point of view, of a long period of English hegemony ahead. So their rational strategy in this particular moment will be not only to tie up the secession of Scotland, which they will be obligated to follow, but also to introduce proportional representation into the rump state, to try and transform the nature of the rump state. I always say to my students that the most backward democracies use winner-takes-all democracy, that is to say the United Kingdom, the United States, India and Canada. These backward democracies use winner-takes-all, not first-past-the-post, that's an error. If you ever hear somebody use that expression, commit them to propaganda camp, because it implies that there's some kind of justice in the system, that there's a fixed post and you have to go past it in order to win. This is not true. If there are multiple candidates, it's the person who wins the most, and there's no fixed post. The correct description of the system is winner takes all. So I look forward, if there's a yes scenario, to the subsequent democratisation of the rump of the Union with the advent of proportional representation. One of the other interesting features of a yes vote is that typically, if you look comparatively across secessions, across the whole planet, what's typically the case is that each entity, the rump and the secessionist unit, preserve their institutions as they were at the moment of the breakup. It's not usually a moment for major constitutional transformation. This time round, I think, however, it will be different, not only for the reason I've explained about the rump of the Union, but Scotland has published an interim constitution. The SNP has published an interim constitution. Again, I can't emphasise how unusual that is. But it's an interesting interim constitution. If you'll forgive me, it's a timorous wee beastie. Right? So they're a constitutional monarchy. They want to get Granny to vote to keep the Queen, right? They're going to have no clarity on the question of separation of church and state. There's a set of clauses which you can interpret that will imply that the status quo will continue. Those matters, I think, will come up for debate. There will be Scottish Republicans who rear their heads on the moment of independence, and I think the question of separation, full separation from the Church of Scotland, will invariably arise. What are the implications for these islands as a whole? Well, the British-Irish Council was created as part of the 1998 agreement. It was not called the Council of the Isles. Perhaps it should have been. Perhaps that would have been wiser nomenclature. So I think what will happen is that Scotland will have to have its own place in the British-Irish Council, which will presumably be whatever the rump union is called, rump union, Irish and Scottish Council, which will intermittently meet, perhaps to discuss the very EU matters that Paul Gillespie correctly emphasises as of importance. If you think about the rump UK, actually Northern Ireland's importance within the rump UK becomes more significant. You can't, contrary to the fantasies of some of my fellow Irish citizens, you can't expel an entity from a state. There's no prospect that the English will get rid of the Northern Irish, and they don't have the legal opportunity to do so. In fact, the Northern Irish become more important in the Westminster Parliament under any scenario with the departure of Scotland. So in that moment, in fact, when you have that multi-party world, it's possible that the DUP's role as a possible coalition partner to people might actually be enhanced. So that's the yes scenario, full of rich and interesting possibilities. Let's hope it materialises, I think, for the sake of intellectuals, but also for the sake of the Scots, to see the death of Eucania, that archaic gift to no one in particular. So now let me move to the more probable scenario. The more probable scenario, of course, is the more duller one of a no vote. If there's a no vote in Scotland, all of the three major UK parties have promised some version of Devo Max. They haven't made it very clear what the promise is. Margaret O'Callaghan correctly raised a question earlier in the day. What the hell was Cameron's strategy? I summarise much more bluntly what her question implied. He obliged a dichotomous choice for reasons that you can possibly defend, but then ended up himself offering the third alternative for fear that his campaign strategy wasn't working. I think that's going to be a very interesting moment after a no vote, how the three major parties decide how to settle their relationships with Scotland and indeed within the Union as a whole. The implications for Northern Ireland about that, I think, are straightforward.